Yet I did not ask you to lead that song, but you couldn't have picked a better song. Blessed Assurance. I'm reminded that in just as we partook of the communion, Kevin, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, Paul writes, examine yourselves. Examine whether you're of the faith, that what you're doing is proper. Again, likewise, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? A test. We need to be looking at ourselves to see that we are of the faith. We just got through reading and studying 2 Peter chapter 2 about false teachers coming into the world, false teachers coming into the body, false teachers afflicting God's people. What is the cure? Examine yourselves to see if you're of the faith. This morning, I'm reminded that there are many people who claim to be Christians. As we go out and we knock doors, as Ed mentioned this morning in class, there's a lot of people that claim to be Christians. Some came to Christ through some stupendous event. Some claim to come through Christ because they were in a tragedy and God's mercy came to them, extended, and they think that that means that they have come to Christ. Some say they have come to Christ because they have followed the teachings of their leaders. So this morning I think that we need to take a moment, examine ourselves, and look to see what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Oops. Yes. What it means to take up my cross and to follow Him. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. This will be our text this morning. Taking up my cross. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does it mean to take up my cross and to follow Him? Well, let's look at the context of what's going on here. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is asked for the great confession. Who do people say that I am? Oh, they say that you're a prophet. Some say that you're Elijah, others Jeremiah. Just one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? And Peter had that good confession. The good confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, verse 16. And we understand that and we remember that. But it does not stop there. So as we look at our context in Matthew chapter 16, we read what Jesus also says. And from that time, verse 21, Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, and from that time Jesus began to show to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. But Peter, see that? But Peter took Jesus aside, verse 22, saying, God forbid it. God forbid it, Lord, that this should never happen to you. Jesus responded and said to him, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. You think you understand the way, but you don't understand God and God's way. There's many people who claim to be Christians who think they understand. What I'm talking about this morning is, what is a disciple? What does it take to be a disciple? What does this mean about denying ourselves and taking up our cross? Many desire, but have no understanding. In Luke chapter 14, we read in verse 25, "And now large crowds were going with Jesus, and he turned to them and he said to them, 'If anyone comes unto me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, and yet even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. For whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it?'" Verse 29, "Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and it is not able to finish, all that who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king," verse 31, "when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 to encounter one coming against him with 20,000. Or what else? While they are still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up his own possessions." We see that Jesus has given us an example that although desire is there, desire alone is not sufficient to be a disciple. One must count the cost. What does it mean to take up my cross and to follow Jesus? He doesn't want us to be blind. He doesn't want us to enter this relationship with him with closed eyes or even starry-eyed. We need to consider what it means to follow him. What does it mean to take up my cross? We're going to look at that in four different ways: of denying ourselves, of taking up our cross, following Jesus, and losing our life. And how often? What does it mean? Well, as we define the concept of discipleship, as Matthew has penned it here in Matthew chapter 16, speaking the words of Jesus, that's where we want to begin. That's where we want to begin. Discipleship does not mean carrying a little ornamental chain around our throat. It does not mean to have the ink upon our skin in the shape of a cross. I'm reminded that as I made that statement, there was a young man who went so far as to not only have the shape of the cross tattooed upon his body, but he had a scripture as well. The scripture being 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of the God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." What a commendable thought. What a great thought to have in the forefront of one's mind. But is that discipleship? Is that discipleship? So we want to look to see how Jesus defines it. If you're still with me in Matthew chapter 16, let's look at verse 24. And Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If, it's conditional. One must choose. God has given us the ability to rationalize, to make decisions, to weigh odds. Odds? Is that a good word? To weigh decisions. That we might willingly make a decision. Jesus said, if. It is conditional. It's not thrust upon us lightly, and it's not shoved down our throats as if it's the only answer. We can always choose not to be a disciple and suffer the results. If is the condition. I have to base my choice on proper motive and proper reasoning. I have to choose to want to be a follower of God. I want to serve God. It's conditional. It is to be accepted in the manner in which God prescribes, not the way I describe. Peter, wake up. What was it that just happened? Jesus announced who he is. He is the Son of God. He was confessed by Peter. Jesus begins proclaiming that he is going to die. He's going to suffer at the hands of the chief priests and die and be raised a third day. And what did Peter say? No, that's not for you. You're our Messiah. You can't do that. Yes, Bill, I'm putting words in his mouth. But isn't that the thought that you read in Peter's actions? He takes Jesus aside and says, no, that cannot be. It's not a way that you choose or I choose. It is God's method of discipleship. We come to him his way, not the way we might want. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Because as we're talking about the defining of discipleship, we see that it is anyone. If anyone chooses to be a disciple, it's open to all. We remember the Sermon on the Mount, Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. What? Go ye into all the world, making disciples, teaching them, baptizing them, and I can't even remember it. My mind went blank. Sorry. Matthew chapter 28. I used to think that was a senior moment. Verse 19, go therefore making disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, all that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. To whom? The whole world. To, it's open to all. Who can be his disciples? Anyone can who chooses to do so. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. What? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be. Who's got the choice? We all have the choice. Who can be his disciples? It's open to all. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 47. And now Jesus said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance, the forgiveness of sins, would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I am sending forth the promise of the Spirit upon you. But you are to stay in the city. The instructions to the apostles, they are to stay in the city until they're clothed with power from on high, which we know happened on the day of Pentecost. So what do we know about disciples? It's conditional. It's open for everyone. But it demands, and I hate this phrase. Total commitment. It is either commitment or it's not. How can it be total commitment? You know, every time I think of that phrase, I think of the farmer's breakfast. The hen thought she was committed, right? She offered up her eggs for his meal. Real commitment? What was that? The pig. Because he not only offered, he gave himself. Total commitment. That is what denying ourselves actually means. That is discipleship. If anyone deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. What does it mean to deny ourselves? We are so intent in the United States on our rights. We are so intent on what I want and what is due me. We have to deny ourselves to allow the Spirit to work within us. Yes, the Spirit to work within us so that Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Do they just come naturally? Do they just come in the air? Or do we have to yield to the Spirit working within our lives? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Does that come naturally? There are some people that are hard to like. Love them? Joy. You mean when I'm suffering, I'm to be joyful? Count it all joy, even in your sufferings. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Osmosis? Because we're here? No. It is allowing the Spirit of God to work through His Word in our lives. It is putting His Word to work. It is denying myself that God's Word and His will can live through me. What happens when we don't do that? We've talked about that in our study in 2 Peter chapter 1, that those who fail to add to their faith knowledge, self-control, what are those people? They're unfruitful. And what else? Blind. If you could see what I can see right now, I can't even hardly tell a color. But they are blind and what else? Third part. They have forgotten the one who has redeemed them. We fail to grow when we have ourselves and our own way of doing things. We're not denying ourselves. We're failing Him and failing to be His disciple. What was it that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, about there can only be how many masters? Either you'll love the one and hate the other, or you'll cling to the one and shun the other. There's only one master. It is either me or it is. Prior self-denial. Matthew chapter 6 again, verse 33. Jesus said, seek ye first and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. We don't need to worry about how we're going to eat or how we're going to dress or all the things that I spend too much time on. If we first have to what? Seek His kingdom, which means take myself off the throne so that He can reign. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15 talks about the love of Christ which constrains us. It is the love of Christ which what? Controls us. To be a disciple of Jesus means to put me aside so that he can reign. It means putting to death our own wishes and our own will. Isn't that kind of what Paul alluded to in Romans chapter 6 when he said, those of you who are buried with Christ have been, what? Raised up to walk in newness of life with him. It is no longer I who live, Galatians chapter 2 verse 21, but Christ Jesus who lives within me. To be a disciple of Jesus is conditional. It is open to everyone, but means denying ourselves and giving ourselves to God. Part of that, I believe, means exercising good judgment. We have an example in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, of a person who used poor judgment. After Paul had proclaimed the gospel of Christ to, what was his name? Felix? Felix became frightened and he said, I'll call on you on a more, what? Convenient time. Isn't that right? Many people don't use good judgment when it comes to discipleship because they want a matter of convenience. Perhaps they're frightened. Perhaps they don't really have not really counted the cost. To be a disciple of Jesus means that we have to say no to ourselves. Isn't that what Paul was talking about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 through 27, when he said, I beat my body, I pummel myself, in other words, I blacken my own eye. Why? So that the cause of Christ can be completed. Self-denial. Anyone who wishes to be a disciple must pick up his own cross, pick up his cross. It is a personal sacrifice. I'm ashamed. There's a religious group that we have talked about in days past who have taken the word cross out of their version of the Bible. Instead, they have inserted the phrase torture stake. Torture stake. Pick up your torture stake and follow me. Huh? Pick up your torture stake and follow me. Jesus was hung on a torture stake? I don't understand it. It just does not compute with me. What was the purpose of a cross? Was it just torture? It was death. It was an excruciating death. It was a death painful and it was observant to all. His cross requires sacrifice. I think that's what's behind that newness of life. That old life is put to death, Romans chapter 6, verse 2. So that we may walk in newness of life, verse 3. What? How do we live? As slaves of sin? No, as servants of righteousness, Paul says in verse 17, verse 18. His cross requires personal sacrifice. So that when we read such passages as 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 about Jesus gave us an example that we should follow, that we should step at what? Follow in his footsteps. What does that mean? It's more than just that little symbol of jewelry that says WWJD, right? It is having the life of Jesus in us. It controls us that we want to be like him, that we would do what Jesus would have us to do. So that even as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 21, he says, what? Be ye imitators of me. As how? As I am of Christ. That should be my pattern of life. So that someone can see in me Jesus. Isn't that what the discipleship concept is all about? Isn't that what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24? It's conditional. It's open to everyone. But it requires self-denial. It requires putting to death our own actions. And it requires us to follow. We've been looking at the book of Mark, and we're getting right up to the paralytic person who was healed by Jesus. And you know what? There's a number of different things we can look at as we look at that event. But there's one startling fact. Well, I guess there's a number of them. The man was saved. Why? What did Jesus say? Observing the faith of his friends, Jesus healed him. So it wasn't that he earned it. It wasn't that he did anything special. But I think the one thing in that event that really gets my attention is not the effort that the friends who cut the hole in the ceiling and dropped him down. It is not the destruction of the house. It is not the gathering of the people. It is the paralytic man picked up his mat and left, as Jesus told him. You know, as long as he laid on that mat, he was still paralyzed, wasn't he? As long as he was on that mat, he had not obeyed. Bill mentioned a passage, John chapter 14 and verse 15, this morning in class. That passage is, if you love me, you will keep or obey my commandments. We have to follow Christ. A disciple is not above his teacher, Jesus taught, nor is a pupil above his teacher, a disciple above his master, but like his master. In James chapter 2 and verse 18, we read that we need to show our faith. How do we show our faith? Can you look at Jack and say, yeah, he's faithful? Well, how does he do it? How do we show our faith? James chapter 2 and verse 18 says it is through our works. It is through our deeds. It's through what we do that we can show our faith. It is continuing in his word, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, that keeps us free, that sets us free. Jesus in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 says, why do you call me Lord and do not do the things I tell you? Who's the master? All of this concept or this talking about being conditional, about it being open to everyone, talking about self-denial and about a cross is dead language unless action follows. Unless we pick up that cross and follow him. Lord, Lord, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do as I say. Defining discipleship. It's conditional. It's open to all. It demands total commitment. It requires personal sacrifice. It demands action. But I think one thing that we see here in the definition of discipleship is there's only one model. There's only one teacher. There's only one guide. Many people might come up with catchphrases, nice little catchy slogans that catch our attention, but there's only one teacher, There's only one model, and there's only one guide. He must be our pattern for our thinking, our speech, and our actions. It's not just for Sunday. It is not just for one time in our life. It must be a daily path of discipleship. Discipleship is a continual way of living. It's 24/7, 365 days a year. Luke adds in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, take up your cross daily and follow me. There's a sense in which Christians must give their lives not just at one time, not just on great days. It must be daily. Perhaps that is the reason why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, talk about the two gates. There are some that will go into that gate, but there's still a path that you need to follow. If you get off that path, you might as well be in through the wide gate. There's one path. It must be a way of life. It must be a time of no regrets. Jesus talked in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, about that one who, puts his hand to the plow and then what? Turns around and looks back. We're getting into our study in 2 Peter chapter 2 about that dog that returns to its vomit and the pig back to its mire. What a sad shape of condition. Discipleship is a continuing way of life. It is one without regret. Well, I want to come to some concluding thoughts. And first concluding thought is, number one, is I am indebted to someone else for all the graphics. The graphics are not mine. I stole them. No. I appropriated them wisely. Okay. But there's a couple things we want to look at. And that is, the cross demands that we transform our wills. It is no longer our will be done, but His will be done. And there's one example of that that I think that really comes down to our mind. We talk about it quite often when we talk about our contribution. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. Stretch your minds a minute. What was it about the Macedonians? Paul says they contributed not like how we expected. What did they do? They gave first of themselves to Christ and to us, and then they gave beyond their ability. Whoa. That's a change of thinking. That's a change of mind that we see in action. The cross means putting things to death. Things of the body, Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. What we want to talk about as we conclude. Oops, sorry. There we go. It requires both our hands. Can you imagine trying to carry a cross as we envision that Jesus carried? That was big enough or heavy enough that Simon was pulled in to carry? Can you imagine carrying that with one hand? I can't. The cross must have both hands. There's no such thing as a split allegiance or walking a proverbial tightrope. We cannot hold on to God and to the world. James chapter 4 and verse 4 brings this, I guess, to my mind. James 4 and verse 4 reads, you adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You can't hold on to God with one hand. You can't hold on to the cross with one hand and continue to hold on to something else with the other. The other thought that comes to mind is that not only does it require both hands, it gives us a heavenly focus and a heavenly go. We can see not only just what's about us. I got on Facebook recently. That was a terrible thing. I got on Facebook and it's opened my eyes to what people say and what they think. Of how people really are feeling. Some are depressed. Some are in anxiety. Discipleship means that we've got our eyes on a go. What was it Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 1? About what sets your mind on things above and not of this world. We already talked about Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34 about seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. There are so many other passages. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 6 through 8 that just bear home this thought again and again and again that the cross, it gives us a heavenly focus and a goal. Well, discipleship. With the cross. The passage is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, lay aside what? Every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, we have that goal ahead of us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who is the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand, that right hand of the throne of God. This morning, I'm sure I haven't told you anything or brought to your mind anything you didn't already know. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, that we need to continually examine ourselves to see if we're of the faith. Where is our discipleship? Are we still growing in discipleship to be more like Christ? If there's anybody here this morning that would like to be His disciple, it begins by believing in Him, acknowledging Him before men, repenting of our sins, and be united with Him in a death like His. So that we too can be, what? Raised to walk in newness of life. This morning, if anyone has a need, whether to be united with Him in that manner, or perhaps our discipleship has taken some meanders in our life, and we need the prayers and help of the congregation, please make your need known as we come forward and sing the song selected.